I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Welcome, everyone.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
This is episode 87.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
It's gonna hurt a lot of it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Of course, I am your host, Aaron Roden.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy.
This, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes every week. And this week being a little bit late. Again, boy, have you been noticing a trend, people? I think it's probably because I drink a little bit too much on Saturday nights, go out, have a good time, and then am unable to get this thing out in a timely manner. So I apologize for that. But we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got a great show planned for you. In this episode 87, special guests, Troy Nelson and Mackenzie Mercer of the Young Evils, founding members of the Young Evils. Great, great band. Local to Seattle here. And they're going to stop by in just a moment, chat with us about how they got started, their personal relationship, and how that got started. And then some really interesting stuff that I was hesitant to bring up, but we talked about it off air, and Troy said it was cool. But yeah, a lot of people know Troy Nelson as the voice and DJ on KEXP. He does the late show, and he fills in for John Richards quite a bit, who has been on this show as well. And yeah, he now has this successful band, and a lot of people, of course, on their minds is the question whether or not being a part of KEXP has anything to do with how well they have done. But if you listen to the music, seriously, you'll see that it is worthy of being played on the real radio, and we are lucky enough this week to be debuting their new EP, which is currently being pressed right now. So we've got the scoop, man. We've got the scoop. Look at us coming up in the world of Seattle music. This is good shit. Good shit. I hope you guys enjoy it, but we'll get to that in just a moment. As many of you remember from last week's episode with Tomo Nakayama of Grand Hallway, I told you the tale about how I hurt my back. And it was, you know, it was bad. We thought that it possibly could have been bone cancer at one point. But that turned out to be to not be an issue. But I had to go back and get, you know, tested and go through what do you call it? God dang it, physical therapy. And they hooked up some electrodes. Well, first, okay, let me start from the beginning here. I was still very, very much in pain and could barely walk. And so they shuttle me out from the doctor's office in these like really short doctor-issued shorts into the waiting room, which, by the way, at this point in the day was packed with people. And so I'm sitting there in these, and I'm holding like my pants and my coat in one arm and stuff, and kind of I'm walking like a you know, a 95-year-old man. A geriatric patient out into this place, and people are staring at me, and it's very embarrassing. They send me out there in these tiny little shorts, and then I go and do the physical therapy, and it's very busy in there. They don't even take me back into a room as they proceed to like have me take my shirt off in front of all these people. You can even see the waiting room right past the desk. And so I'm sitting there. I'm the only dude in there with my shirt off, my man boobs hanging out, and my happy trail just like, you know, sprouting hair all over the place. And people are just, I feel like people are looking at me. Then they have me lay down, and they take my shorts down, and my butt is now hanging out on the table. All these people around, All these people around. Not to mention some very pretty lady physical therapists that are just hanging out in there. One of them is talking to the doctor that is working on me. So anyway, he proceeds to put these electrodes on the area in question, my tailbone area. And right when he gets there with the first one, it like sends this shock through my lower half, and it hurts so bad. And the guy was like, "Oh, it's not even on. I don't know what's wrong." And then he like stopped mid sentence because obviously the frickin' thing was on, and it was like on full strength because it sent this shockwave through my whole body. That I mean, it just made me seize up, and I like screamed out in pain. Anyway, so they set this stuff up. I'm laying there with my butt hanging out of my shorts. They got this big ice pack on me, and they're putting, you know, they got the electricity flowing through here, and you know, you can feel it kind of back there. It's kind of tingly and stuff. And they leave me on this table for about half an hour, and they're just doing, you know, they just let that thing go. And then when the half an hour is up, you know, this thing, the machine beeps and stuff, and I'm going, please let the dude come back. Please let the dude come back, because I see this female, very pretty female physical therapist is kind of standing around doing nothing. And so I was like, please just let the dude come back. Please let the dude come back. And sure enough, of course, my luck. As if I couldn't be more embarrassed, this young, pretty little lady comes over, takes my pants down, and starts tearing at these electrodes that are now stuck to my hairy butt. And she's just like ripping these things off, and I can kind of see her out of the corner of my eye just ripping these things off. And it hurts so bad because she's tearing a bunch of hair off too. She's just like clumps of butt hair just coming off with this thing. I'm so embarrassed, you guys. I'm so embarrassed. Oh my God. And so finally it ends. And they want me to sign up for another therapy session. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that right when I get home. Assholes. God dang it. So anyway, I get home, right? This is the topping. This is the cherry on the cake. What's the expression? The frosting on the cake. God dang it. Anyway, I get home. Come over to Mairead, and I'm like, I feel like there's bald spots in my butt now from her ripping these electrodes off. And I was like, Mairead, check this out. Are there bald spots? And so I show her where the electrodes were, and she just like starts laughing so hard. And I'm thinking in my mind, it's like, great, I got a bunch of bald spots back there from her ripping these things off, right? Even more kind of embarrassed, right? I got a little waxing session at the physical therapist. She says, and Mairead's just still laughing, and she's cackling at this point. She's laughing so hard. And I turn around and I go, "What's up?" And she's go, "You got the biggest pimple on your butt, right where the electrodes were."
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Better. As if that day couldn't get any worse. My God. My God. I am never going back to that. I can't. I cannot go back to that doctor's office. Ever again. No frickin' way, man. But you will be. God. One piece of good news out of all this. You'll be happy to know that I got a clean bill of health. Got my labs back from my blood tests. Everything's fine. I'm still sore. It's been 2 weeks now. Still a little bit sore. And, you know, never worse for wear. Anyway, let's get to this, shall we? Hey, just a quick reminder. The Air Raid podcast has been featured on iTunes this week. We are in the new and noteworthy section. I don't know why, because we're not new. We've been around for a couple years now. But you know what? We are noteworthy. And to help us out, I want you guys to go to iTunes. Look, this is free entertainment that we put out here each week for you guys. And we feel like the least you can do for us, go to iTunes, rate, review the show. Takes a couple seconds. Even just subscribe to it. Even if you don't use iTunes, just subscribe to it. It adds with our numbers and is going to help us out in the future with our new network that we're um, that we're on right now that I still can't really talk about because it's not totally up yet. So anyway, so just go there. And you know what you have to do? All you have to do is just mention it. You like the show? Mention it to a friend. Mention it to somebody you know that might like the show. You know, you can use it in everyday conversation. Here's just a suggestion for getting your friends to subscribe to the show. Let's see. You can insert it into any conversation, right? Let's say your friend comes up and says, "Hey, I just had a baby." You go, "Oh, that's great. That's great, friend. You know who has a baby? This guy who does this podcast, the Air Raid Podcast, Aaron Roden, he has a baby. You should check that out." Huh? What about this? Here's another suggestion. "Hey, I have back problems." "Hey, friend, you know who has back problems? This guy that does this Air Raid Podcast. It's fantastic. You should check it out." Easy as that. Insert it into every conversation you can. Help us out, will you? Please. We'd love to have your help. Anyway, let's get to the show, shall we? We're going to go to our first musical break. This is off the new Young Evils EP. It's called Foreign Spells. Hopefully it'll be available to all of you out there. This song is called Darker Blue Bayou, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast. And Troy Nelson and Mackenzie Mercer of the Young Evils will be joining us. So, be back with you in just a moment. Darker Blue Bayou. We'll see you. We are back, and joining me here in Dining Room Studios, high atop the Greenwood neighborhood here in North Seattle, is Troy Nelson. Is it Troy Nelson?
You got it.
Got it. And Mackenzie Mercer, of the founding members of the Young Evils.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us. This is a lovely studio/home you have here.
And this is where we eat dinner and where we make fake radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like
all
it.
In one.
We call that Fadio.
Fadio?
Yeah.
That's good, man. Can I use that?
It's yours.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, you guys have got a new album that is coming out. It's being pressed right now as we speak.
It's an EP, actually.
Oh, it's just, okay, it's just EP.
Just an EP, yeah.
Okay.
A little taster. Yeah. But yes, four new songs, and we should have it in our hands here in about 2 weeks.
Yes,
so.
And one of which you just heard there, Darker Blue Bayou. And what's the name of the EP?
The EP is going to be called Foreign Spells.
Foreign Spells.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. I'm looking forward to it because when I got you guys to agree to do this by telling you that there was like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow here.
You were lying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Total lies. My lies get bigger and bigger every time I get somebody to come on this show.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's all right. Well, we're here, so you got us.
Well, I just found, I'm just getting really good at lying.
Right. And and you made us drinks.
I did.
You hear that?
Yep. Yeah. Cocktails. Yeah.
Mm. Exactly. That's how. That's actually how we got you.
That's the goal at the end of the rainbow.
That's the goal that all musicians really want.
That's how I lured us.
Just free drinks. We're just doing this for the free drinks.
Free drinks. Boom. We're here.
So yeah. So I saw you guys when you agreed to do my show. I went and watched your performance on Nancy Guppy's show, Art Zone, and was super blown away by the new stuff.
Thanks. Yeah. It's a little different than the current or the album that we put out. Has been like a year and a half now since we put out our album Enchanted Chapel, which was definitely much more of an acoustic and kick drum, tambourine, a little more. We wanted to try writing a record that didn't have any sort of pretentious, like dark and noisy and all this stuff on Enchanted Chapel. And so we wanted to keep that a very lighthearted. Actually, we just wanted to see if we could write just like little 2-minute little gems of tunes, kind of like Violent Femmes, The Vaseline's, Magnetic Fields. We wanted to see if we could do that. And then we just didn't want to put, with the new stuff, we didn't want to do the same thing twice. And not only that, now we have a band. When we did Enchanted Chapel.
Yeah, it was just you two guys.
It was just us two, really. Yeah. And so we now have, it's a 5-member band. And it changes the sound. The shows that we were getting to, we weren't sure when we put out our first record. We thought, well, maybe a few people will hear this and we'll play a couple shows and then we'll put out the next album, no big deal. But when we started getting offered bigger shows...
We were going to have a drum machine.
Yeah, yeah.
When we started getting offered bigger shows, we realized that we need to bring it a little more live. And that our little...
And the drum machine was just not going to cut it,
The
right?
drum machine wasn't going to cut it, neither was just...
The little pre-recorded bass and drum tracks on an iPod that Troy was going to queue up every time we played.
You could go lo-fi Soul Rebellion route and just have somebody stand in the background with a fake bass.
And I love that. And that they do it great for their type of music. The stuff we were doing... It just made things less exciting. And so we realized we needed a band quickly, too. We realized it. Because we put the album out, started getting radio play, and some other things had happened. NPR gave one of our songs, like Song of the Day or something like that.
Yeah,
and that was really cool and really, really nice of them. But then people wanted us to play bigger shows. And we realized, we better... get some more members and let's make this kind of a more of an exciting live show. But then that in turn kind of...
Every time you add a new band member, it like...
You're right.
It ultimately...
Now, did you guys... Okay, so...
Changes the sound.
Oh, yeah,
somewhat,
totally.
You know,
totally. Yeah.
Bring something new to it.
So when you guys did this and started adding new members, were these new members just like they were all of a sudden just a part of the band, or did you have something in mind that you wanted them to be playing?
Well, that's the thing is that we didn't really... The album is the way it is, and so whoever was going to play with us, we wanted them to play those parts, or they could add a little something. We're not too picky.
Their own flair.
But right away, we didn't have a band, and we had all these shows lined up, and so we just had to ask whoever was around us if they could just step in for the time being.
Now, are these just friends? Because I've always had this, like, you look in the back of, like, the weekly papers here in Seattle, and there's just, like, classified ads for, like, guitarist needed, and come and try out. Did you guys have tryouts? Because I've always just wanted to be a fly on the wall at one of those things.
They're awkward,
we had a couple. We actually had a couple incredible people try out.
We've had lots of great people who people were fans of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it just didn't have the right feel or the right sound. Like, they are very talented, but it just didn't fit the band
kind
of situation.
We had a lot of, guitarist singers that had their own phenomenal bands and projects that we were huge fans of, and they're like, we want to try and play drums now.
Yeah.
And we're, like, all excited. Like, yes, that
just
guy's
on this as a side project or
but
something.
We still had to say no to even people we're fans of, because it just
like,
didn't
you know
fit.
What, man? You're a great singer, but fuck, you're terrible at playing the drums.
Well, we put it in more or less words than that.
We've actually had quite a rotating cast of characters, yeah. Actually, now that I... We'd, like, my stepdad was our bass player for a while.
Yeah, that's what Troy was saying before we started.
We had, because yeah. we were like
Mark Pickerel, like, worked at Easy Street with us, and
he played drums for a little while.
We have the show at the Comet.
Oh, he's a great drummer.
He's a great drummer. Yeah, well, yeah. He was like,
we had him fill in one show, and then it was like a year later.
That's the thing. We were like, could you play this one show, maybe another show, and then that's it? And he was like, sure. And
we'll
then
have a real drummer by then, I swear.
Then it turned into like almost a year. It was like 8 months or something.
Oh, really? He was playing with you for that
for a long time because we couldn't find a drummer. Remember, we were going through these auditions while Mark was playing with us. Uh-huh. He's probably the longest fill-in drummer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, we have a permanent band now.
Yeah,
and Michael Lee is on bass, and he is an all-around
phenomenal,
talented musician.
Never had played bass, and he was one of those people that just...
What did he play before he came to your guys?
He's the lead singer and guitarist for a band called Mal de Mer.
Oh, yeah.
Maldemar?
Yeah.
Maldemar.
We've played them on this show before, and I can never get their name right.
He's in a band with us, and I still feel like I say it wrong every time.
Yeah, that's right. And then
it's like my wife's first name. Nobody can ever get it right, so she just says, yeah, my name's like, Mary.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Mary works.
And then we got, and Faustine Hudson is playing drums for us, and she's a part of some other projects, too, with some other local bands.
Cool.
But she's great, and Cody Hurd plays rhythm guitar, and he's just been a friend of mine. I was actually his guitar instructor back in 1996.
He was 14.
When he was 14, I was 17 or 18 or something, I was his guitar instructor, and then I moved out here, and then he moved out here, and him and I have just been friends since we were
kids. That's
really
cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So do you ever fall back into that teacher role where you're like, hey, Cody, quit.
All the time.
You know, move your finger like this. You know, make sure your thumb is just on the flat of the back of the neck.
Well, pretty much. I mean, the funny thing is, he's good enough now where he makes his own stuff up, you know. But I still be like, that works, that doesn't work, that works, that doesn't work. Don't do that, you know. We still have that.
Cody, don't do that.
And he's so nice that he never argues.
He's like, okay.
So you're using that to your advantage. I see how this is.
Absolutely. I'm still the teacher. I always will be. I'm never going to let him surpass me. I'm just going to like beat him down if he tries. Okay,
that's terrible.
Not really.
Oh man, I can see a huge band fight coming up at some point.
Cody is too nice.
He's the most innocent little birdie.
We call him Bird Dog.
Yeah,
he's a little bird dog, and he does great, and he's very easy to work with.
Excellent.
And we just get along. Cody and I have been involved in other projects, and we've never fight.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So what? Okay, let me get back to this, because this is still sticking in my mind as something that I'm very curious about. These band auditions that you guys did.
Yes.
Where there must have been bad ones.
There was a couple.
Like some guy just coming in and playing like Cheap Trick, like super, super loud.
Well, that would have been cool, actually. Yeah. I kind of like Cheap Trick.
Usually how it went is we would meet somebody and we'd give them the copy of the record. And so they could sit with it for a while. And then they would come in and they'd try and like, you know, play through a handful of the songs with us. And, it's awkward because every time you finish one song, it's like silent till you start the next one. And if it went poorly, you don't want to say that was terrible because you have like five more songs to run through.
You're stuck with them for the next hour.
You're kind of like making this
weird... Well, can't you like
after
like one song, if it was really bad, be like, hey, okay, thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate you coming down.
Because then they know.
We'll let you know.
Then they know.
Yeah. And you're doing this weird eye contact with the other people in the band because you don't... You know, what Troy might hear potential in something that I think was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're kind of trying to read, like, I'm looking at Cody and I'm trying to look at Troy, but I don't want to give it away to the person auditioning that, like, I didn't think it was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm glad we don't have to go through any more of those.
Well, who knows?
God, if you do, can you just give me a call and I'll just be like, yeah, I'm just sitting here.
Yeah, or we could just want to. Let's do a hidden camera thing.
I'm just going to take notes.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. And then we'll put it on the web and embarrass them. We'll have to blur their face out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be like To Catch a Predator.
Yeah, but it'll be To Catch a Shitty Drummer.
To Catch a Shitty Drummer. Yeah. I like that. I really like that
idea. Dude, I think we got a show brewing here.
Yeah, dude. I think like somebody like Spike or G4 would pick that up. All right.
Joe TV. You heard it here first. You and I, dude.
That is trademarked.
We're starting this shit.
That is trademarked. All right. That is trademarked. Okay, so you also mentioned that you guys have been, you have been in bands before. Mackenzie, same story for you?
I was in an all-girl rock band when I was 16.
Nice.
In high school.
Called Mrs.
Called Mrs.
Whoa, that's good.
I played bass and sang.
Yeah, I saw video footage of it.
You did.
She was, you guys did a cover version of Hurt by Nine Inch Nails / Johnny Cash.
We did.
Did you play the Johnny Cash version?
They did.
We played the Johnny Cash version.
Which that you can tell our age difference because...
Right.
I'm more from the Nine Inch Nails generation, and she comes from a generation where the kids are like, that's a Nine Inch Nails song?
I know.
Right, yeah.
I think, yeah, that was my only... I mean, granted, that was only... like 6 years ago, and we've been doing the Young Evils for almost 3 years, so
yeah.
I haven't had as much time to
be in other bands. I mean, I've been in bands ever since my very, very first band, where we actually made, we pressed up a recording at the time. We even made cassette tapes. We made 300 cassette tapes, and I was in a band called Fourth in Line. But here's what's interesting is that, so we put this record, I'm from this is in South Dakota.
You're from the Dakota.
I'm from,
as is Cody, our guitar.
And I'm from
player.
A town called Mitchell, South Dakota. It's home to the world's only corn palace.
That's where the corn palace is.
Right, exactly. It's the only thing we're known for, that and boringness. So anyway, I was in this band called Fourth in Line with my good friend Shane Stoneback and my other good friend Tony Walsh. And so we put
you
out
guys
this...
like a Three Doors Down cover band?
No. Fourth in Line, Three Doors... No, because this was 10 years before Three Doors
Down.
So...
you did it first.
Exactly. And it was this... I listened to it the other day, and I'm like, you know what? It's not too bad. Like, it was totally us trying to rip off, like, it was like the Dead Milkmen meet Nirvana meets, you know, whatever. So, and then after that, I was in a band called Clone, and that was me getting my angst out, and we put two albums out.
Yeah.
We were like Linkin Park before Linkin Park. And that is nothing to brag about. It's awful. But
you still have copies of all this stuff?
We had a killer drummer. His name's Brad. And he was easily the best drummer in the Midwest. If not, you know, to this day, I just wish he was playing music with me. He's that good.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to him in years. But he was phenomenal. So, and then I did, and then I lived in Florida for a while, and I had a little industrial project that I put out a cassette tape of. I've went through many musical changes.
Yeah, dude. You're like running through the genres here.
And then I was in a solo project. It started out as one called First Name, Last Name, which I put out in Seattle in 2000.
That was his like Elliot Smith, like brutal
singer-songwriter. Almost like Elliot Smith meets a little, it was like kind of just a tinge of reverb-y psychedelic Elliot Smith, and it wasn't near as good. And I started playing shows like, you know, I remember the first time I just moved here and I put it out.
When did you move to Seattle?
In late 99. Okay. Late. Okay. So this was right 2000. I came out
right
here.
After you graduated high school, pretty much. Or?
I went to Florida for audio engineering.
Oh, okay.
For a year, and then I moved to New York for 1 year. So
did you go to Full Sail?
I did go to Full Sail. And I'm still paying for it. But
expensive school.
It is expensive, but very good school. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I've been part of a lot of, you know, like just bands and projects that were just like self pressed up or put out.
Yeah.
Put a couple records under the name First Name, Last Name out in Seattle that got a little bit not really any, you know, much airplay or whatever, and played a few shows. No big deal. So here, I just decided to stop playing music for a while. I was like, I'm just sick of, you know, things kind of seeming like they're going somewhere and then they go nowhere. Then they kind of go somewhere and then they go nowhere. Mm-hmm. And carrying gear and getting gigs and all that, I got sick of it. So that kid Cody, that I was his, you know, the one that plays in the Young Evils, that I was his guitar instructor, we started a comedy duo called Black Daisy. And we put out DVDs. We pressed up DVDs, and we got to open for some of our favorite local bands at the time was The Lights, which you can see I'm wearing their shirt.
Very, very good band. Yeah,
one of my favorites. We got to, like, they would show our skits before their show.
Really?
Or, you know, or other local bands. I mean, we even did something with the Presidents of the United States and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we started a band under the name Black Daisy, where we wore wigs and we made fun of what we call bro metal, or what people call bro metal. And we had these songs. We recorded an album with Eric Blood, who recorded the Moondoggies and Shabazz Palaces.
Yeah,
and we did these comedy songs. We're making fun of it. So I've been doing that a long time. So the point to this long-ish story is that here we are all these years later. So we're talking 16 years since that very first cassette tape I put out in high school, Fourth in Line.
Yeah.
The other kid that I was in that band with, Shane Stoneback, is the guy who produced the Young Evil's new EP that's about to come out, because he's in New York. This whole time I've been in Seattle, he's been in New York, and he has got to work with tons of people. He just produced, he recorded both the Vampire Weekend albums, and he just recorded both the Sleigh Bells records,
and he recorded
the band Cult, which I really love, and he's been doing a ton of stuff.
Hustling, living in a studio.
And so he was out there doing that. I'm out doing my, you know, stuff in Seattle, and then we came together on this, because he had just gotten done with the Sleigh Bells record, and he's like, I have maybe a week where I could record an EP with you guys.
We're like,
this might be the only chance we can. Mm-hmm.
So this is we're talking about the latest
Foreign one. Spells.
Okay,
yeah, the new EP was produced by him, and he's on top.
How is that experience then for you? Because it sounds like you had never. I mean, this guy, he's the real deal, right?
Mm-hmm. He's kind of the shit
He's on fire right now.
Yeah, totally.
Everything he touches. And, you know, they're doing, he's like, I think he did the Fucked Up record.
Yeah, he did the Fucked Up
record. Which Spin named, like, number one album of the year. Like, he's just working.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was literally, like, a week before Christmas, we flew him out to Seattle and got Electro Kitty in Wallingford for a week, and he stayed on our couch.
Yep.
And we worked crazy hours, and we were there. I think I like recorded vocals at 4 a.m. on a couple different songs.
Yeah, yeah. So how was that?
It was amazing.
So let's go a little bit more into depth of how this experience was for you, Mackenzie.
For me.
You can't see this at home, but I'm pointing at Mackenzie right now. How it was for you, because it sounds like, you know, you were in a band in high school. This is like the only other band you've ever been in, and now you're recording with somebody that's done all this amazing stuff, right? So what's going on in your head? Are you nervous in the studio?
Yeah, I mean, I think I always get a little bit nervous in the studio. It's just so different.
It is, isn't it?
Than performing live, and the whole process of it is great. You always think it's going to be 10 times more like action-packed, and then you realize you always end up doing a lot of like sitting around.
Right.
But just the difference of like how much you can hear. And when you're recording vocals with Shane, actually was the most comfortable experience I've ever had. He's a master at doing vocals. He uses amazing microphones and has like all these vintage mics and mics that he's built himself. Like he loves vocal sounds.
Dude, that's awesome.
And experimenting with microphones and finding the microphone that's going
to
best
match
yours.
I'd be just nervous to like use one of those things.
Yeah. So he set up.
I'll tell you right now, here, this picture on my phone right there, that's our vocal setup, 4 microphones.
Are you serious?
Some of them like ranging, I don't know how many decades old, and some newer.
Yeah, you've got some old like 1950s.
It looked like
Newman.
A retro like press conference when like a president would like address.
Yeah, I felt like I was going to give the State of the Union address when I walked up, because he's using
that's
multiple
crazy.
Microphones, and then he uses a mixture. He blends them and he uses is the room reverb, and it's crazy.
And
that's awesome.
We actually had this really cool setup where we had in Electro Kitty, they have like these curtains that come down to where you do the vocals, so you literally are in this like tent of curtains, and it was dark, and I had a drink, and and Shane just was like, you know, I can fix tone things that are not tone. He's like, I can fix if you hit a wrong note, we can like redo it a million times, but I can never create attitude, and I can never create like your delivery. And he was like, if you dance around on stage when you sing this song, dance around in the booth, like just make it to where you're comfortable with this song.
Yeah.
And it was just the most amazing experience recording with him.
Yeah. We had.
I can understand why people like do a record with him and they want him to do every other record they ever do.
I can also understand why he doesn't have any public he doesn't have a Facebook, he doesn't have a Twitter, he doesn't have anything.
Right, because he'd just, like, he'd just be bombarded.
Bombarded.
Right.
Yeah. He's a vampire, yeah. too. I mean, yep. this we're talking about a guy who, like...
Just, like, super, super white.
When he came out here, we were like, okay, so we want to be in the studio at noon every day, yeah. and, you know, we should probably... Gary, who owns Electro Kitty, I think wanted us out at, like, 1 a.m., every night, and I think the first day we were in there at noon, we all of a sudden had to morph to Shane's schedule. He, like, wakes up at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
We maybe would, like, start recording the first couple notes of anything by 6 p.m., and then would work till 6 a.m.
And he honestly...
He would spend the night in the studio a couple nights. He didn't come home.
He drinks Grande Americanos with
Venti.
Venti, sorry. Americanos with five shots.
Five shots.
And he drinks three
Red
or four
Bulls.
Of those a day.
So are you guys preparing yourselves to go to his funeral?
I know.
Well, and then...
And then he chain smokes on top of it. I'm just like...
Oh, my God.
I'm like, this guy is not an athlete.
And then he doesn't... Like, when he's in the studio, he's, like, working, so he doesn't eat all day.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
he would come home to our couch, and literally, it's like a pubescent, like, 15-year-old boy or something. He's, like, whips out a family-sized bag of pizza rolls and watches Family Guy. And that's, like, that's
them.
All
yeah.
he does.
He binge eats.
That
it's amazing.
Life sounds so amazing.
It is. He's living,
oh my
God. He's living the
I
dream.
Could, if I could eat Totino's pizza rolls
I know.
For the rest of my life, I would be a happy man.
The funny thing is that's what, you know, Shane and I were really good friends, are really good friends, but, you know, in junior high. Well, he was in junior high. I was a freshman in high school. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's how we lived then. And
I know,
it's like, he still, but he still manages, though,
yeah.
like how to have such a professional and an amazing career, but he still knows how to fit that shit in his schedule. Like, to be like that, it must keep him, like, real as fuck.
I think it was kind of a weird, like, Troy was like, oh my God, you're the same kid that used to crawl through my window when you were 16. You haven't changed at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And then he gets in a studio and he's a madman. Uh-huh. I mean, he really is.
He dresses up. This is like, mm-hmm. I could not say enough amazing things about what it's like to work with Shane, but he dresses up when you go in the studio with him. So he feels like
in a suit?
Yeah, in a full suit, tie.
Because that's what they used to do.
Shiny shoes.
Right,
he's
right,
like, in the 50s, you would go make a record, and your producers looked fucking sharp.
Yeah.
Like, they were there to do
I
a
like
job.
That.
It
I
was
like
they were walking into an office building, and he has, that's very near and dear to his heart. And, and he still continues to, like, you know, pressed shirts, ties, scuff-free boots, and shines his shoes,
it's
and
that's
goes to work.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of, and he would be embarrassed if he heard me say this, but he reminds me of the legendary engineer Tom Dowd, who has done, I mean, pretty. If you search Tom Dowd on the internet, you'll just be blown the fuck away, like all the shit that
like
that
he's
guy's
just
worked
done
on.
So much.
He's worked on every record.
He's a legend. He's a legend. Yeah. And but he was this very sharp dressed and very opinionated and sort of a madman in the studio with microphones and mic placement and this and that and a genius, really.
Yeah.
And I think Shane's on his way to being somebody like that. I've been really proud of him too because we were the kids in Mitchell, South Dakota. That everybody else around us was, either a farmer or a jock or some, not many people played music.
Right.
And so it was hard.
We found each other
We found each other that way, and we would talk about, you know, playing music together and doing music, and it didn't seem like a crazy idea to us, but it did to our parents,
Yeah.
And we both stuck it out. And that's what I love about coming together and working with him now is that both of us, even though we have not been making a lot of money throughout the last, decade and a half, sticking to our dream, so to speak, we still just stuck to it. And, Shane only started doing, I think Vampire Weekend was his first thing. And that was only...
That was it? That was his first?
That was, I mean, he had done lots and lots of stuff. I should say, his first thing
his
where
first
he...
His first big thing.
His first big thing where he got, like, national
his first
recognition.
First thing that he got recognition. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he worked
And that
on...
was only a couple years ago. So Shane's been working his ass off. And Shane and I have never... We've always remained the same close that we had when we were kids. We just live across the country now.
Uh-huh.
And just talking to him at random hours and how busy he's been the last decade, I mean, it is crazy. His schedule is absolutely insane. And it has been. I mean, he was like assisting on Britney Spears records and and Backstreet Boys stuff and
any job sort he could of, like, do interning
and
thing
he would
he
be
do.
There like for you know 2 months and he would live at the studio. He would sleep on the couch and shower. He's been doing that for 10 years, and so the fact that
and
he stuck it
Totino's.
Out yeah. eating Totino's, I'm sure you know
all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, so I'm just proud of him. But the fact that we came together, you know, two kids from a small farm town in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Hey, hey, and you know, you do have a corn castle.
We do. Hey, yeah. And the,
come on.
And the corn castle is...
Seattle doesn't have a corn castle.
They don't. No. And if they did, no one would live here. But it's so cool that after all these years that we'd got to come together and work on this new stuff.
Yeah. And I think that we're really proud of what came out of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think you guys should be. And we're going to, on that note, we're going to hear the next song here. Let's see. We're going with Dead Animals off of the upcoming EP from the Young Evils entitled Foreign Spells. So here you go. Dead Animals. We'll be right back with more from Troy and McKenzie and me because I'm the most important.
Yep.
Yep.
Here we go. The count of sweet illusions got your tongue. Dead. We are back. That was Dead Animals off of the new EP, Foreign Spells by the Young Evils. And joining me here in Dining Room Studios once again is Mackenzie Mercer and Troy Nelson from the band. And let's see, before the break we were talking a little bit about how this record or this EP got made and how excited they are about it and how excited they should be about it because it is fantastic. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm not just blowing smoke.
Thanks.
But the great thing about this show is that I get to have on musicians and comedians that I think are good. So there you go. You've well, now been you've honor. Now been blessed by the the what was it you called it? Fadio?
Well, that's fake radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Fadio.
You've now been blessed by a Fadio host.
A Fadio host. The hostess with the least mostest.
Exactly.
Fadio.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Fadio. So I wanted to switch gears just a little bit and talk about you guys and the dynamic that you bring to the band because you are together.
Romantically involved.
Romantically involved. Hearts entwined, so to speak.
Right.
They're just looking each other in the eye right now.
Yeah,
we can't see this
at
home.
We've been together for a few years.
We were a band first.
We were
actually
a band.
Well, that's what I wanted to
we
ask.
We went
about.
All yeah, Fleetwood yeah. Mac on it.
We were banned only for like 3 weeks though, and then
it didn't last very long.
So how did you guys meet and how did the band get formed?
We met working at Easy Street.
Yeah,
I got a job working at Easy Street in Queen Anne, and Troy had worked there, and we both were in relationships at the time, and
when we met, there was no. All I felt was
he was not interested.
No. I thought Mackenzie was awesome, but yeah. I was like, I even told her within like a week of knowing each other, I said, I have a feeling we're going to be friends for forever. Mm-hmm. I could feel it. We had that spark, but I definitely was not thinking any more than that because she was much younger than I, and she was into way different stuff that I was into, you know, at the
time.
Like
the Johnny Cash version of the Nine Inch Nails.
No.
I was like leather jacket.
Call back.
Punk rock.
She was like, like crusty punk leather jacket. And,
yeah.
And I was a little older, so I'm like, yeah, grew out of that. But I still love the music.
I don't really want to drink 40s.
Yeah, she was like drinking 40s. Like one time she showed up at, I was doing my radio gig, and she showed up like drunk on Jägermeister. I was like, you can't be here drunk. And
he put me in a cab.
I put her in a cab, and I booted her out. I'm like, get out of here.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, it's like, come on.
He was working.
Show up to
I had this, actually.
We do that down at the real radio stations.
Actually, I will say, he's referring to the first time. This is actually after the band started, if you recall. Yeah. We'd been playing music together for, I think, like a couple weeks, maybe. And he was you should come visit me at KEXP when I do my show. I do the overnight show, blah, blah. Thinking, like, people come and visit him and hang out all the time. And in my head, I've never been to a radio station before, so I didn't realize how much work it actually is. Mm-hmm. So I show up drunk because I'm like, if I'm drunk...
And you're trying to get him to talk to you.
I'll have the balls to make out with him. It'll be awesome.
Oh, this was your little plan.
This was my plan.
Okay.
This was my plan. And I thought that, like, if I was drunk and went in there and it was going to be this like hip, like almost like the DJ and the Warriors, if anybody's seen that. And she's just like, it's all like dim lit and there's like smoke in the room. And I thought I would go in and he'd just be like hanging out, like listening to records and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, we could totally make out. And I walk in, was she wrong. It's nothing like that. He's busy as fuck and he's like running back.
You
and
need
forth
to go home.
I'm extremely serious about my job and very,
and he's like, Nope, you're drunk. Okay, bye.
You're gone. See you. I take my job very serious. I mean, I have fun with it, and I love it. And I'm not, going to have some drunk person come in and ruin it. I don't care who it is.
I thought I was done for then. I was like, I blew my chance forever.
I know. But
so did you guys have a talk about this? You had to have a talk about
it. We hashed it out.
Yeah, we hashed it out.
Meeting.
Well, he tried to say after that, I was like, well, I had to come clean that the reason I was drunk is because I was going to try
told
and put
him.
The moves on him.
You told him.
I told him.
That's ballsy.
And then she goes, said, don't tell me you don't feel the same way. You do, don't you? This is through a text, by the way.
Oh, this is a text?
Well,
then we actually
you were like, well, because Troy was like, will you just call me? And I was like, okay, fine. Yeah.
And I was like, and you were like, what, do you feel the same way? And I said, yeah. And you go, uh-oh. That's exactly how it went.
I did. That was the
you
famous,
go, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That's awesome.
Uh-oh. Because we knew that was going to be a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you guys were both in relationships at that time,
those had ended now. Okay. Those had ended. Yours was fizzling.
He was in rehab, so.
Yeah. Yours was definitely fizzling or fizzled.
Yeah.
And then mine was done. Mine had been done.
Yeah, yeah.
For months and months. And so I wasn't necessarily looking to jump into something right away. But Mackenzie and I just right off the bat, even before the romantic relationship or whatever you call it, even before that, we just got along so well. And we just laughed all the time. And we just laughed.
I feel like we used to get in
we
trouble
still, I mean,
all
we
the time.
Still do. Now we've been together for almost 3 years, and we still laugh at everything and make fun of the same things and all
there,
that.
I think that there was a period of time, and everybody would say, oh my gosh, my family, who was like so excited about this new like band that I was starting and this opportunity. And then when I came home and I was like, but I like him too.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, you're going to ruin your band and you're going to mess this up and don't
That's
do
what
it,
they were worried about.
Yes. Yeah. I think that they were like more interested in like maintain the band than like me following.
Well, here's the interesting thing too is that, the idea of the Young Evils I had come up with before Mackenzie and I had gotten involved all, before she was even going to be, before she even was the singer. I came up with the idea of, like I mentioned before, just 2-minute songs, 2-minute ditties, if you will.
Right.
Because I miss records like the Violent Femmes debut album and the Vaseline's Magnetic Fields. I always reference those three bands. If you put them all together, it's pretty much Enchanted Chapel, really. In my mind, other people hear, they're like, I don't totally hear those bands, but I hear it perfectly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I wanted to make a mixture of those three bands, and I knew it needed a girl, and I thought guy-girl singing together every single note, but not harmonies, but octaves.
Right,
so the guy sings in a low deadpan, a la Stephen Merritt, and the girl, so the guy has kind of an uninterested deadpan, and the female vocal is the angelic one, the actual
almost
voice.
Almost like a Halo Benders.
Halo Benders is
Except
a good
that's
one.
Just two dudes
that's a good
doing
one.
That same
or
thing.
Or a Beat Happening sometimes had
right,
that
right.
whole thing. Yeah. And actually, Beat Happening has come up. People wonder if I was influenced by that, which unfortunately I wasn't, and did not get into Beat Happening until recently, believe it or not. Now I get it. When I heard it when I was younger, I was like, what's this?
Yeah.
I actually love it now. But nonetheless, I had three or four of the songs that ended up on our album Enchanted Chapel before Mackenzie even started singing. And I had some other girls in mind. I was like, I want to ask them. But then Mackenzie walked. I didn't even know Mackenzie could sing. And we were at Easy Street, and she walked by me, and she was singing a Heart song. And she was just humming it. What was the
song? Was it Barracuda?
No, it's that. I don't know why I love it so much, but it's. I think that there's something totally incredibly cute and cheesy about it. But the song on Dreamo Nanny that's like, if you love me like music, I'll be your song.
Yeah, so
I
she
don't
walks
even
by.
Know that song.
It's
like
who does?
It's like a buried track on Dreamboat Annie, and I was like serenading him, like
she's like,
you know,
if you love me like music, or whatever.
I'll be your song.
Yeah, that's what she did, and I was like, whoa, she actually. I was like, do you know how to sing? Because that was in key. Like I could tell she hit the notes.
Yeah, yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I know that this, because Mackenzie and I both, also as a little side note, both love 80s hard rock. My all-time favorite band, one of my all-time favorite bands, is Def Leppard. And Kenzie and I talk about how much we love old Motley Crue. Mm-hmm. I love the first three Motley Crue records. The first four Def Leppard albums to me are like the greatest hard rock records in the history of the world. And I aspire to make a record that sounds...
Are you so stoked that they're like... doing the reunion tour and doing a new album.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the new stuff is never going to be great, but I live in the old stuff. And,
right.
So we both love that. We both love 70s punk rock, too. We both love 70s rock in general. We both love the Buzzcocks. And then on a not-so-punk rock side, T-Rex and just like 70s rock and roll.
Yeah.
So anyway, these songs are very not that. The Young Evils thing.
First record.
The demos that I was writing. I was writing. And so I was like, oh, I have this project. It needs a female vocalist, and you sound, you know, great. Will you listen to these, and maybe we should start a band? And she was like, okay, I'll listen to them.
How it got started.
Well, I thought she was going to go home and be like, this sucks, because
I don't like this crap.
Well, because, you know, we both love 70s punk rock, and these songs were very acoustic and very melodic.
It sounded like... almost a little like Moldy Peaches-y Juno soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah.
I dig your love. Can you come over tonight?
Yeah. And so
type stuff. And
yeah, it's pop.
Yeah.
Pop.
It's poppy.
Yeah, it's pop.
It's pure pop.
Yeah, I guess it's pop. I don't know what the word is anymore. I knew what I was going for at the time. And honestly, I still listen to that record. Even though we've moved on a little bit, I still listen to that record and I enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I like the short songs and the melodies and stuff. But Mackenzie was like, I totally get what you're going for. I totally understand. I'm in. Let's do it. And I was like, well, we had our first practice, and it was in the basement of some house deep in West Seattle. It was like in White Center.
In White Center, where Troy was renting a room at
the time. Because I had just gone through a breakup, and or a divorce. And I was living in some room of somebody's house, of friends of
mine. In White Center.
Yeah. Anyway, so we had this, and I played the songs,
White
and what struck me is that Mackenzie remembered the words.
We sat down, he made me a white wine spritzer. The famous Troy Nelson beverage of choice.
I'm trying to bring the white wine spritzer. It's due. It's actually a tongue twister.
Explain to me for a second. I don't want to take us totally off into a weird tangent, but a white wine spritzer is
see,
just
a tongue twister.
Wine and just what?
Club soda.
Club soda
and ice.
See, but I had some girls come
into
the
champagne.
Into the bar I work at, the other day, and they wanted white wine spritzers, and they were like appalled when I brought it to them, and it wasn't 7-Up. Like, they wanted like sweet.
Oh.
But we do,
that'd be
in the Nelson Mercer household, we do white wine, club soda, and ice.
Yeah, that to me is a white wine spritzer, and I've been drinking them for 3.5 years. They're refreshing. They're perfect. Like, everything about them, it's the greatest drink ever.
I'm really going to have to try that.
There's even a bar, the bar that Mackenzie works at, there is the Troy Spritzer.
There's a button in our diner, where in our like POS system, and it's like, the Troy, it's white wine spritzer.
Wait, where do you work?
I work at Skylark.
Skylark Cafe.
I do. I bartend there and I do booking.
Okay.
There
for the
shows. Cool. So yeah, that's how the band got started, though.
Sat down
when we had our first practice. Mackenzie nailed it. Like, she knew all the words and the timing of the words, because the first song on Enchanted.
Now, did you have the lyrics written already, or did you write your own?
No, we had the lyrics.
He had sent them to me, but I think he was more impressed. I mean, because Troy definitely does a lot of word playing in his songwriting, and I think he was more impressed that I just could get all the words out in the right time.
Right. Because even the first song on Enchanted Chapel, like, at first listen, it might be like, oh, you know, it's a... that's a nice little tune. But if you listen to the phrasing, I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm not saying it's, you know, incredibly difficult, but I wasn't sure what she was capable of. And the, you know, the opening line is, maybe we should tell the story of the old imagination aging ready for a steady incline. You know, it has that kind of...
that bouncing.
Bouncing word.
Almost like a vocal staccato.
In a way, yeah. And she like completely nailed it. That's the one thing I was worried about for whoever was going to sing on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she nailed it, I was like, okay, we're doing this. And then it inspired me to start writing some more songs. And then there's even a love song or two on there because we were, you know, falling in love.
Yeah.
At the time.
I always tell people when we reference that, the new direction of the Young Evil sound is a lot more rock and roll, and it's a lot darker and a lot darker. As far as lyrical content, it's a lot of darker imagery. And I say,
well, there is a song called Dead Animals.
Yeah. I say that now we're 3 years in and we just hate each other.
Yeah.
We're past that.
Well, that's what I kind of want to talk to you guys about. Like, what's the dynamic like when you guys go out on tour? Because I know that you just did a small tour, didn't you?
Am I wrong on that? So we did South by Southwest last year, and we did the Pearl Jam 20 Festival. And
we did
a little like
with Star Anna and all the
We did like a 2-week kind of Northeast tour, East Coast tour.
Well, we went into Canada.
That. Yeah. And then we did...
Now, was that with full band?
That was all full band,
right?
And then we did CMJ in October, and then we're leaving a week from tomorrow for an almost 3-week tour and a South by Southwest.
And then over to LA and then back up to Seattle.
So does this... I mean, you guys are spending a lot of time together, being in a relationship, being in a band together.
Right.
You know...
There was a period of time where we...
Does it get hard?
Worked together at Easy Street. We were playing in a band together. We were in a relationship, and we had newly moved in together.
Yeah.
And so
shit,
it was like,
man.
We never...
That sounds terrible.
And honestly,
I'm sorry, but that sounds terrible.
I'll tell you what was terrible.
He didn't like working with
working together at... I don't care if it's at the record store, wherever if you work with... And I'm not talking band situation, like, you know, a job where you, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
I hated that part the most. But everything else...
her superior? Too, at
no,
work?
No, because I've never.
Troy has taken on zero responsibility.
Bullshit.
I'm just kidding.
I do the local consignments. And
you're hearing a fight start right now.
No, the thing is that I've never had a want to even.
He hasn't
like,
gone into management, but
no,
he does.
I've never
lot.
Wanted to. I like to just remain because I do the radio stuff too, and so I need my schedule to be a little bit flexible. I can't have more responsibility there. Otherwise, I'm just going to, you know, let everybody down because I'll be like, I can't work tomorrow because I got to be on the radio.
You're way too busy to do anything.
Yeah. But, and that's
I kid, honey.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing Mackenzie doesn't know is that I've faked every orgasm.
That was going to be my next question, as a matter of fact. Yeah, yeah. So you speak, you're talking about being on the radio, and this is one thing that we talked about before we started the show, and you said you were cool with mentioning it.
Yeah.
But a thought on some people's mind is that you guys have done well in this town because you are a KEXP DJ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you get airplay.
It's come up. I've seen it on, so the Stranger will write something about us and say kind words, and the Stranger has been very incredible and awesome to us. And somebody will, in the comments section, of course, will be like, well, they just get played on KEXP because Troy works there.
Right.
Or,
right.
you know, this is happening because Troy knows this person.
Yeah.
And
it's even gone as far as to talk about, like, my family history or that.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
Mackenzie's dad, it was Pearl Jam's photographer. So that's why they get to do this.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing is, and the biggest misconception is, I don't really know that many people. And not only that, I've been putting, you know, I moved here in 99, and I've put out records in this town for over a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them have really, you know, done anything, you know, spectacular. And only recently with the Young Evils stuff has it gotten some airplay or whatever. So the way I look at it is like 11 years of putting records out, God forbid I get a little bit of airplay with a project that I'm a part of, you know, and that's really cool and stuff. But honestly, KEXP is really true to their format. If I put out a record that just, you know, was really, really subpar, not good at all, they're not going to just throw it on the radio. They're not going to they're not going to play it if it just sucked
those
terribly bad.
That's why you guys didn't play my record.
which record was yours?
I'm not even going to say the name.
Oh, dude, I'm going to find this out by the end of
I'm very curious.
No, but KEXP is very...
They take their job seriously.
They're very open-minded, and they honestly, they listen to everything. It's amazing.
I think if anything, they're almost would be the opposite. They'd be more critical of someone that works there because they know that the second like it and
they
put it
at.
Into rotation,
yeah.
that it's going to get a couple comments of like, oh, this person works there. So if anything, they're going to be even harder on it and more critical. Is it worthy?
Well, that's
of
why.
Being,
that's why when
you know,
when because I didn't know how to broach that subject because it definitely came up in my mind. Like, oh, that would be a good question or something to ask Troy.
Yeah. It just sucks for me for how long, and like if you've been listening to this entire interview when I went off about how I was putting records out in high school, and that was 15 years ago, 16 years ago, how long I've been doing this, and then finally, you know, I finally kind of found a style that I like, and I found really a band that I want to play with, and that a style of music that I like to write.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I kind of find my, you know, I don't know what you
your
call
niche.
It. I guess my niche, you know, something I've been looking for a long time. And finally find it, and then there's those people. And of course, there's always going to be those
it's
people.
It's always going to happen.
And that's fine. But the thing is that it's not, it's weird to me that would even be, nobody knows.
Well, and people also are, you know.
I can't get mad because nobody knows
you're
me.
You're a little naive if you think that. Networking or knowing people isn't a part of it because it totally is, you know.
Yeah.
And
people
especially,
use that.
Especially in this town too.
People use that all the time. You know, like when the Strokes came out, you know, Julian Casablancas, you know, his dad is a
they
fashion
got crap for their
mogul.
Parents having
his
money.
Dad, his dad, a multi
well,
millionaire.
Well, they got crap for being Harvard kids, right? I mean, that's what or Princeton
or whatever it is,
wherever they
just
went,
kind of
whatever it is. And here's
the
thing: so it's kind of that '90s. Mentality to me.
I was guilty of that, by the way.
No, so was I. Like, oh, that's stupid. That person's fake. That sucks.
Yeah.
They wear a tattered jean jacket, but you know they have like
so much money.
And now we all have tattered jean jackets. Damn it.
But the funny thing is, so Julian Casablancas comes from a millionaire father, whatever the case may be. Forget about it. Listen to the music. Like, listen to how, like, especially the first record, but I actually like most of their stuff. But Is This It? I mean, listen to it. It's fucking phenomenal.
It
Who
is.
Gives
it's
a
great,
shit?
Great record.
Who gives a shit if he comes from a millionaire family? And so the people being like, well, you work at KEXP, so you get played on the station. That's like so tiny compared to like some of these people's stories. So I can't even believe people care. It's hilarious. So like, you work at a radio station, so you get played there.
Well, and really, that thing is probably going to only exist in Seattle. You know, that's not that's not going to be a kind of thing that, like, if someone discovers the Young Evils in New York, they're not going to.
Well, that's the thing, right? And then we read reviews coming in from other states and some other national press and stuff, and it's positive. You know, positive press. I'm like, well, okay, that's cool.
That's great.
There's nobody there that's going to be like,
picked by NPR.
He works at a radio station.
Yeah. Regardless, I mean, we'll keep doing what we do.
Exactly.
I think at some point
it makes us happy.
I've been doing it my whole life. I'm going to continue to do it. And if anyone likes it, that's great. If anyone wants to say, well, you work at a radio station, so, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, I think at some point you just got to like tune it out. I'm learning that right now. This is my second year of doing this show and we're starting to get hate mail. And so that, you know, It comes in from time to time, and
just think you're the worst.
They do. Some call me cheesy because you'll see if you listen to this tomorrow. I put some I do sound drops.
I promise.
I'm not gonna their interview. Troy's giving me the look of death right now. Just during the intro.
I'm just curious. I'm curious what the sound drops are gonna be. I could make some up. Right now.
I think. That
will you guys record some sound drops for me?
No matter we'll kind of, Trey and I have always talked about that now, even though we were a band first, now we are a couple first and a band second, and we have 20 different bands that we want to start and projects that we want to do and styles we want to play and kind of projects we want to go and conquer together. So
Well, I think you guys, I think you guys deserve all the good press that you're getting.
Thank you.
I think it's a great EP from what we've heard so far, and I'm gonna put this on heavy rotation in my in my iTunes directory.
Thank you.
So thank you guys so much for coming out, and I think you're welcome. A great spot to end things, talking about how you just need to listen to the music, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The more you know, Rainbow just flew by. yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. And let's plug your wares here. Where can we find out about new shows coming up? Where can we find out about you guys?
The Young Evils Facebook page, definitely. Mm-hmm. TheYoungEvils.com. We are hoping to do, so we'll be gone on this tour till about March 27th. We'll be back in Seattle and are hoping to have a May or April release with the EP. If not, sometime early this summer, maybe June. We'll see.
Cool.
We're definitely going to do a full length before 2012 is over for sure.
Yeah. And are you going to try to do it with Shane again?
He wants to. Shane now is nice. You better fucking do this full length with me, bitch. That's kind of what it said to me. Honestly, though, I mean, it would only make sense. Because of where the style of music that we're playing right now just suits his style of production and recording. So I know.
I think, man, and you know, not to blow smoke again, but man, I mean, it sounds good. And if it's working that well, do it again. You know.
Thank you, sir.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Perfect. Women, the woman of a million. God, blah 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 blah.
The blur of the blip blip blur.
You've had one too many rum and coke.
I am going to have another after the show is over.
By the way, I got to tell you that your coasters being skulls is not very promising. Feeding us alcohol. I'm looking at my glass of rum,
and now it just looks like poison.
I can see through the bottom of the glass, and there's a skull. And all it's doing is reminding me, don't drive.
Yeah. Justin Davis of Star Anna and the Laughing Dogs.
Did you have those guys on here?
Yeah. They were on a long time ago.
Did he make these coasters?
That coaster right there that Mackenzie has, he thinks looks like a penis. The sword.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That looks even more
like the handle of the sword looks like a penis.
We need to take a picture of that. Do you have a blog or something?
The head.
We do. Yeah.
Here, let's take a picture of that, and then maybe we might have to put it up so people know exactly what we're talking about here. Because, I mean, there you go. Here, it's that part of the sword.
Yeah.
Point to the penis. Point to the penis. You get your
This is fantastic.
Check the
Young Evil's right
Facebook page for
no,
this
babe,
later.
Get your finger in there a little more. That's what she said. Get your finger in there a little more. That's what she said. More over here, hon.
Oh, you want this side? Yeah. This one's way more phallic looking.
Yeah, I think I agree
That's
with Mackenzie.
Head.
That's
Look
the
at
okay.
Little,
okay. Here we go. Here we go.
Way better.
There. And nice. So I'll. Okay.
Troy will upload
you
that to the Young Evil's Facebook page. So
there you go.
Stay
See,
tuned.
That one says ACC below it. That one doesn't. That's
this
why
one is way more head-like.
See, this is what happens when you're in a band with your lover.
See, 3 years into it, we're arguing over a coaster. This is bullshit.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We had a great time here in Dining Room Studios, and I hope you guys tune in next week for our show with comedian Ron Funches from Portland, Oregon. You may remember him from Portlandia. And also on the new Conan show and everything. Very, very funny guy. And he's going to be coming and playing Laugh Hole. I think, this Thursday, the 7th. So make sure to check that out. And he'll be joining us on the next episode, episode 88. So tune in next Sunday. Thank you all for listening. Remember, you can find us at www.air-raid.net. Also on Facebook and Twitter. That's it. Goodbye. We're going to go out today with The Devil's Barricade by the Young Evils. Thanks, guys, once again.
Thank you
so
much.
And have a great week.